Good morning. Today's daf and getting this ches. We're starting on Zayin Amud Beis. We are going to start with a stira Tanachada. It is found right in the middle of Zayin Amud Beis, and we are almost done with our first sugya of getting. Obviously, it starts on Beis Amud Aleph. Starts with a Mishnah. Hamevi get if you deliver a get mimedina sayam, and the get now is being shipped, delivered from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So, in order for the get to be a valid get, so the shlech must say upon delivery. Get was written in front of me, and it was also signed in front of me as well. And for the last week, we've been discussing why that should be. Why does he need to say that? So, without going and covering over now and reviewing the last week of the Gemara, right now we could just suffice to say that you must say b'fanenechtam in order for the get to be a valid get. The Bryce over here is going to be talking about delivering the get where you're in Eretz Yisrael, but you're not in Eretz Yisrael, i.e., you're not on land proper. So where are you right now? So you're on a boat. Okay. You're not in the Mediterranean Ocean, although that will be discussed momentarily. But you're in some sort of body of water in Eretz Yisrael. So how many bodies of water are there in Eretz Yisrael? So whatever the right answer, it doesn't matter what the right answer is. But you're somewhere in a body of water. And is that considered Eretz Yisrael? Is that not considered Eretz Yisrael? Right. Terrible mashal, but in other words, but we know that, You're in a body of water and you're outside of the landmass of United States of America. So after a certain distance, so you are no longer in America. You are now in international water. So over here we're talking about, but my analogy is not good, because over here we're talking about a body of water that's in Eretz Yisrael. It just happens to be that you're not on the land proper. So are you in Eretz Yisrael? Yes or no? And now it's funny, by the way, because as we already pointed out, this discussion that we're having of what's in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, so it has so many ramifications, meaning mitzvahs are tolus baretz, right? All the mitzvahs that are connected and related to being in Eretz Yisrael, notably trumas and maestros. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many mitzvahs that are tolus baretz. So, of course, it's important to know whether you're in or outside of Eretz Yisrael. What we are going to be doing over today's daf, and I know it's going to be a little bit confusing, right? Tosfos asked this question a number of different ways in today's daf. And that basically is that whatever we say is going to be in Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis all the agricultural halacha is also going to be true regarding the halachas of Gittin and the requirement of b'fanenechta. Okay. And you can wonder, as I'm wondering right now together, and you can wonder, meaning why should the two necessarily have to go hand in hand? The b'fanenechtam requirement is because we need notarizing the signatures. It's because we don't know if it's lishma. But over here, to be so technical now, well, am I in Israel proper? Am I not in Israel proper? In other words, this is not an agricultural discussion. This is simply a discussion of, do the rabbis require b'fanenechtam? Okay. But meanwhile, we are going to create an equivalency. Whatever is true regarding agriculture is going to be true regarding the requirement of b'fanen echtav. So, let's start off with a stira. One brace, the tanachara, maybe get b'sfina, can maybe be eretz yisrael. V'tan yidach, can maybe be chosaretz. So, the stira is very simple. So, the get is coming from a boat. The boat happens to be on a body of water. That body of water is in Israel. Are you considered like you're in Israel right now? It's that simple. One brace says yes, the other brace says no. So according to Bryson number one, it's Kamevi Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you don't have to say b'fanenechtav. According to Bryson number two, it is considered like you're bringing it from outside of Eretz Yisrael, which means that get is, when delivered, needs to have the formula of b'fanenechtav. It's called the stira. So we're going to have numerous ways of resolving the stira. Rav Yirmiyah Lokasha, Hai Rabbi Yehuda HaRabbanan. Approach number one by Rav Yirmiyah, and that is, it's a machlokas tanaim. Here we are now in a Mishnah in Chala, second perek of Masecht Chala Ditnan. Afra Chutzar Tzababis Fina Laaretz. So I have the dirt is dirt coming from outside of Israel, and it's on a boat, and the boat's in Israel. Again, boats on a body of water that's in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this one particular detail that the land, that the actual earth, the dirt itself is exported from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Is that necessary for our discussion right now? Somewhat of a discussion. I'm telling you what to focus on right now. Focus on the fact right now that we are on a boat in a body of water that is, that body of water is in Eretz Yisrael. So, Chai b'maiser v'shvius. So according to the Tanna Kamma, so now that whatever is growing in that dirt on the boat in Israel is now going to be subject to trumas maisers. Simple. And I'm Rav Yehuda Misa Bizman Shasvina Gosheshes. Now Rav Yehuda says that's only true if the boat is actually making physical contact with the bed of that water, with the seabed, or it's not a sea, but in other words, but with the actual land itself. The boat is submerged and the water's shallow and there's actual contact between boat and earth, then and only then is it chayv and shumas samaisos. Is
there a shear
for that? Ava fina goshashes. No. It's a fair question. I don't know. Ava einas fina goshashes. But if the boat is not making contact with the bed, so pater, so then it's going to be pater, because then the boat is floating in the air. And since the boat is floating in the air, now you understand when I say
water.
Right, correct. Thank you. So when I say floating in the air, I just simply mean it's not floating in the air. In other words, it's on the water, but water is not land. And since, according to Rabbi Yehuda, water is not land, so therefore it's not making contact with the ground. And in order to be subject to all the mitzvahs of Tluyos Baaretz, you have to be making contact with the land. And the boat is not making contact with the land. So Rabbi Yehuda makes this distinction whether the boat is actually making contact or not making contact. Another point I'm just going to make quickly over here, because it's not a quick point. But Rashi writes over here that the boat is a kli cheres. It's earthenware. And Rashi says that I understand what's driving Rashi, meaning that we don't want the boat, the boat itself, meaning I know there's earth in the boat, but the boat itself, isn't that going to be a chatzitza? Isn't that going to be separating the land of Eretz Yisrael and the dirt on the boat growing? So Rashi writes that the boat is made up of kli cheres. Does kli cheres float? I guess it does. But Rashi says that the boat is made up of kli cheres because kli cheres is so porous. So therefore, it allows for communication between the actual physical land of Eretz Yisrael and the dirt that's on the boat. Okay. And at that point of Rashi is subject to a discussion. I just mentioned it quickly over here. Anyway, let's go to the larger point. And that is, what did we just learn together? That when I have a boat in water, according to the Tanna Kamma, that the whatever is growing in that boat is considered like it's growing in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that boat is Eretz Yisrael, period. And according to Rav Yehuda, no, only if the boat is like submerged and touching the actual ground itself, then and only then. But in other words, according to Rav Yehuda, if the boat is in the water and it's not making contact with the ground below, so then the boat is not Eretz Yisrael. Oh. So now the Gemara says that machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yirmiyah's first proposal of how to resolve the stira. That's the machlokas between the two braisos. And again, I go back to the point where we started today. Funny, isn't it? What an equivalency. Whatever is true regarding mitzvahs of Tluyos Baaretz is going to be true now also for Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta.
The issue of Tchum doesn't play a role here?
No.
Because if you think, I mean, yeah. if on Shabbat, if you just... If you carry something in your pocket and you walk in the water and you keep swimming and moving away from the beach, at one point is it considered carrying?
By Tchum, we said in Shabbos that if you are in the water and you're above 10 tefachim from the body of the bed of the water, so you're in other words you're above, right? Water, generally speaking, is not land. In a moment, I'm going to say something that's going to contradict, but generally throughout the Gemara, water is not considered land. That's what we normally say. And over here, or at least according to Rav Yehuda, that's exactly what Rav Yehuda is saying. Tanna Kamma is disagreeing. Okay. Anyway, that is all answer number one. Answer number two is going to be very, Abai Amar, Havaha Rav Yehuda, Hevelo Kasha, Khan, Bizman Shein Asfina Gosheshes, and Khan Bizman Shein Asfina Gosheshes. Abai's answer is that you don't even have to come to a machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yehuda, because according to Abaye, we could stay within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, and just one Bryce is talking about where the boat is not submerged, and the boat is kind of floating on the water, not floating. But in other words, it's on the water, but not making contact with the ground. And the other Bryce is talking about where the boat is submerged and making contact with the ground. Okay. Amar Bizera. Okay. Atzitz Nakov. Amunach Agabi Yisedos. Banu Lamachlokas Rav Yehuda V'Rabbanan. So, Rabbi Zera wants to try the following. We just learned together a Mishnah Chala. The Mishnah Chala talks about dirt on a boat that's in water and the boat is above the ground. Okay. And is that dirt now in the boat considered Eretz Yisrael or not? Is anything that you grow on that boat chayav trumas ha-maisros, yes or no? Okay. So Rabbi Zera says is, well, I'll tell you what. We could do something really similar. And that is that we'll take a pot. It's perforated. So in other words, there is going to be communication via the air. I'll take the pot. I will suspend it above the ground. And you know, and I'll grow something in that pot. And now the ground is Eretz Yisrael. So the growth now growing in that pot, perforated and suspended above the ground, is that going to be chayv and trumas ha-maisros, yes or no? So Rabbi Zera says, oh, go back to that Mishnah and Chala, same machlokas as the boat, right? That's what Rabbi Zera wants to try to do. I'm Rabbi Zera, it's Nakav Omunacha Gabi, said it's banal machlokas, Rabbi Yudav Rabbanan. So that's the machlokas. I'm a Rava Dimalohi. And Rava says, I don't think they're comparable. And I'll tell you why. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda asam, ela bisfina, su livroach. No, Rabbi Yehuda says that anything growing in the boat is not considered Eretz Yisrael. But the boat is in constant motion, meaning I can't view growth on the boat as being a derivative of Eretz Yisrael proper, because the boat is not stationary. But if I'm suspending a pot over the ground and the pot is perforated and now I have a steady flow, right? It's hard to see because there's nothing to look at right now, but I have a steady flow of uniqueness Eretz Yisrael, right? The Eretz Yisrael is now nourishing and sustaining. So that in fact is going to be, that's going to provide nourishment. In other words, that is Eretz Yisrael. And therefore anything growing in the pot is considered like Eretz Yisrael. Masha Einkein, I'm sorry. Inami, alternatively, Ad kan lo kam rabban hasam ala bisfina de la mafsik avira. Demaya ki aris mech de dami, ava atz it's the mafsik avira. Ava atz it's the mafsik avira. Okay. Another way to differentiate between the cases is that, look, when we're talking about suspending a pot from the ground, so what I could say is that the pot's not touching the ground. I know the pot's perforated. You could look at the unika going through the airspace, but you could also say it doesn't go through the airspace. What about the case of the boat? The Chachamim say that whatever you're growing on the boat is considered like you're growing Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but it's on water. And this is what I foreshadowed a little bit earlier this morning. And water is considered like Aris Mechta. The water is considered like an extension of the ground. Meaning Eretz Yisrael is not just land, but it's also bodies of water as well.
That goods going to get the home measure.
Okay, yeah, correct.
Don't we hold that like you can grow plants with hydroponics?
Yeah, I mean you can. Yeah, correct. In other words, right? No, normally, okay, so right? Normally, what we would say is if it's suspended in the air and it's not growing from the ground proper, it's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not subject to mitzvos tluyos baretz. That's normally what we say. In this discussion that we're having over here, the pot is perforated. So there is a flow of the unika through the airspace. And whether that works or doesn't work, again, it's subject to a machlokas. As far as the Gemara is concerned, it's open to a debate. And not only is it open to a debate, but what we just did in the Gemara is that I could really see it one of two ways. I could take Rav Yehuda's position who normally disconnects, and I could say that over here connects. I could take the Chachamim, who normally looks at connection, and say, yeah, but in this case, it disconnects. So, like, you can really slice it a number of different ways. Okay. So far, so good. What do we have right now? Let's outline. We have the daf so far today started with two brises that are at odds with one another. The get was written on a boat, on a body of water in Eretz Yisrael, and now it's going to be delivered to a woman who's in Eretz Yisrael. So is that get considered like it came from outside of Eretz Yisrael? Brisa number one says you have to. Let me go in the right order. Brisa number one said that it is kimevi Eretz Yisrael. Like in other words, that boat on the water in Israel is considered like Israel. And Brisa number two says no, it's considered like chutz aretz. And so what we've been doing now since the beginning of the daf, this is now we're going 15 minutes strong into. Resolution number one, you see that machlokas in that Mishnah Chala between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what's going on over here. That's resolution number one. And we had two versions of that resolution, either Tanakama versus Rav Yehuda, or stay within Shita Rav Yehuda, Gosheshes Eino Gosheshes. Okay, that's all approach, we'll call that approach number one. Okay, approach number two. And then the Gemara just for a moment litigated, what about a pot perforated suspended in the air? Same machlokas, different machlokas? Okay. But here we now go to approach number two. Approach number two, Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, Rabbi Nahar, Sarah, Tisol, Dukul, Amal, Apligi. Okay. Rav Nachman says, no. Let's say it simply. I have a boat in water that's floating on a body of water in Eretz Yisrael. As far as get is concerned, it's Israel. It's Israel. When you deliver that get now to the wife, you don't have to say b'fanenechzam, and there is no more to discuss about that particular case. What about the steer and the brises? Well, the steer and the brises is talking about something else. What is it talking about? That's coming up. Elaki pligi b'yamagadol. What we're talking about is the following, and that is that there is a island on the Mediterranean, and it's obviously off the coast. Is that island considered Eretz Yisrael, yes or no? No. So in other words, we're basically going to be asking the following question. That western border of Israel, right? Time and again, we call it the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean. How far out does it go? That's going to be the Machlokas. And today's Dav, Gittin Dav Ches, goes over Machlokas Tanayim. How far does the western border of Eretz Yisrael go? So did Tanya Izu Eretz Vezu Chutzaret. So Kosha Shofer Vyar Mituri Amnon Velifnim Eretz Yisrael Mituri Amnon Velachutz Chutzaret. Now Rashi over here, you could see, spends a lot of time going over how to understand the Gemara over here. Okay, and Tosus also spends a good amount of time going over the Gemara over here. As far as Rashi is concerned, so I'm just summarizing really quickly. Rashi's understanding is that this first comment of the Gemara over here is talking about the northern border, right? The Turei Amnon, the mountains of Amnon. So that is the most northern border of Eretz Yisrael. And so anything sloping southbound from the apex of that mountain is considered Eretz Yisrael. Anything sloping northbound from these Amnon mountains is considered Chutz Aretz. That's number one. Nisim should be Amron Osokilu Chut Matuach Alei Mitur Amnon Manachem Mitzrayim Minachut Lefnim Eretz Yisrael Minachut Velachutz Chutz Aretz. Now, here's what you're going to do. Now, picture is going to be so helpful over here. So, if you have a picture, pictures. He gave you pictures.
Yeah, the bottom.
Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so I'm good. I don't need it. I just want to make sure that you have it. Okay, so pictures over here would be extraordinarily helpful. What you're going to do now is you're going to make two points. Okay, the point is going to be the most northern point. We just described it. That's the mountains of Amnon, the apex of mountains of Amnon. That's the northern point. And then we're going to go to Nachal Mitzrayim. Nachal Mitzrayim, okay, so somewhere in the Sinai Peninsula. Okay. And what you're now going to do is between these two points, now these two points are not going to, when I'm drawing a straight line from between these two points, I'm not going to be hitting any landmass. It's going to go through the Mediterranean. Perfect. So now draw a line from point A to point B. So anything now interior, or if you're with me right now in terms of orientation, anything east of that line, we're in the Mediterranean, that's Eretz Yisrael. Anything west of that line is going to now be Chutz Aretz. That's opinion number one. So Nisim should be Amron Sukilo. I read that already. Okay, let's move on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So Rabbi Yehuda says no. I disagree. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kosher Keneged Eretz Yisrael Harei Keretz Yisrael Shenemar Gvul Yam VeHayalachem Hayam Agadol UGvul Zeg Yalachem Gvul Yam. Okay. The Psukim and Parshas Matos go ahead and give the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara now is going to be darshening. Rabbi Yehuda is going to be darshening. So when it says Gvul Yam v'haya lachem hayam hagadol u'gvul, so the Yam hagadol and the Gvul, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is what's meant, and that is that when you go to the Yam hagadol, so basically what you're going to do is you're just going to head directly westbound. I'm going to explain it better in just a moment. Let me just read a little bit more. V'hanisim shebetzad nimronu so ki ilu chut matuach aleihem mi kip loria. Ad Yamo Kainas. Umi Nachal Mitzrayim, Vad Yamo Kainas. So, Hachut Velifnim, Eretz Yisrael. Hachut Velachut, Chutz Aretz. Okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it goes like this. What you're going to do is that you're going to draw two lines, but they're both going to go due west, and whatever the most northern border is, draw a line going due west from that point. Whatever the most southern border is, Nachal Mitzrayim, draw a line due west going from that point. And within that bar, right, in other words, we have two latitudes, and we're between the two latitudes. So anything heading westbound, Rashi writes, Ad Sof HaOlam, go to the end of the world. Now, you understand Rashi's writing that. So Rashi is in the 11th century, and the end of the world is the Atlantic Ocean. Okay? Right, what existed beyond that? Nothing. Okay. From Rashi's perspective. Right. Okay, fine. So the, I know it's so interesting to think about how they looked at the world, how they saw the world, how they view the world. I understand. And, or whatever. The Tosfos over here, fascinating. In terms of parts of Europe, according to Rabbi Yehuda, parts of Europe should be Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And it makes it even more interesting because Tosfos thinks that parts of France are within this latitude. And therefore, one of the students asked Rabbeinu Tam, it's right here in Tosfos, in today's daf. One of the students asked Rabbeinu Tam, right? Shouldn't parts of France be Eretz Yisrael based on this? And it's funny, by the way, because we look at a map and we're thinking to ourselves, what are you looking at? Meaning, right, even as we draw these two lines, these two latitude lines, westbound, there's not going to be any part of France that's going to be within the latitude. Okay, anyway, and I know it makes for interesting discussion, but right now I'm, as per the daf, focused on the Gemara. So that means that according to Rav Yehuda, so anything within that band is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Anything north of that or south of that, it's not going to be an Eretz Yisrael. And I'll get to the therefore in just a moment. Let's first just finish reading the Gemara. V'rabbanan hayu gvul my avdilei. Now remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how do you know that? He darshaned it from the word gvul. Now the Chachamim, who clearly disagree, because according to the Chachamim, we do not make a band going westbound. According to the Chachamim, I just go point A, point B. I draw a straight line between them. Interior is Eretz Yisrael. Exterior is outside of Eretz Yisrael. So what do the Chachamim do with the word u'gavul? So they say, mi baile lenisim, I need it for the islands. If there are any islands, now I say islands, by the way, meaning happens to be that you and I, or I'll speak for myself, I cannot identify an island from one point to the other. But let's remind ourselves of a couple of things. First of all, I don't know where these points are. Right, Nachal Mitzrayim, right, Turei Amnon. Again, I don't know exactly where these points are. I think it's fair to say pretty confidently that, like Cyprus, for example, is nowhere falling within that. But in other words, there could have been some sort of small little, if you want, right, what's it called? Whatever. There could have been some land masses over there. Okay, anyway. All right. So according to the Chachamim, what do I do with it? So I need it for the islands. And Rav Yehuda, Nisam Lo Tzrichi Kran, according to Rav Yehuda, I don't need a special drasha for that. Okay, now we could pause and now we can go back. It's very simple now. Meaning, we have a Machlokas Tanayim. How do we construct the western border of Eretz Yisrael into the Mediterranean Ocean? Good. Now when we go back to the Braisa, the beginning of today's daf, and we say, that Braisa number one says that when you're in a boat and you're delivering a get, you're like in Israel. And the other Braisa says you're not like in Israel. What's going on over here? Now, according to Rav Nachman, we're saying a different pshat altogether. You're not in a body of water in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, you're in the Mediterranean Ocean. Where are you located right now? Somewhere west. In the Mediterranean. And you're way outside of that intersection line. Okay? In other words, you're smack in the middle of the Mediterranean. Now, according to the Tanna Kamma, Chutz Laaretz. According to Rav Yehuda, as long as you're in within the band, you're in Eretz Yisrael. That is the resolution of the two brises. It's not a resolution, in other words, but that is the two sides of the two brises. One brise is going like the Tanna Kamma, and the other brise is going like Rav Yehuda. Good. Period. Okay. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first sugya of today's daf. We continue. We're in Chesam and Aleph. We're halfway down, a little bit more than halfway down. Two dots, Rabbi Meir Omer, Akko Keretusov, Achule. Okay. By me name, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amocher Avdol Asuria, Kamocher Bechotz Aretz Dame, Olo. Okay, a couple things that we need to know before going forward in the Gemara over here. Okay, number one, selling your Eved Kanani. So you could sell your Eved Kanani, but if you're living in Israel, so you cannot sell your Eved Kanani to somebody living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in other words, you want to sell your Eved Kanani from one Jew to another Jew, you must sell your Eved Kanani to another Jew who lives in Israel. Why? Okay, number one. If you're living in Israel, unfortunately we don't, but if you're living in Israel, so you're fulfilling a mitzvah of the Torah. For you to leave Eretz Yisrael, so you're abandoning Eretz Yisrael, you're abandoning a mitzvah of the Torah. Okay. I know that statement is loaded with ramifications for all of us. I know that. Okay. It's not comfortable and it shouldn't be comfortable, but that's fine. Okay. So, and not only is that true regarding you, it's also true regarding your Eved Kanani. When you own an Eved Kanani, and you're living in Israel, Eretz Yisrael, and he's living in Eretz Yisrael, he also now, as an Eved Kanani, he's bound by mitzvahs of the Torah, he also now is fulfilling a mitzvah of living in Israel, and when you now force him to leave Eretz Yisrael, so now you're denying him the mitzvah. The Chachamim said to you, that wasn't right. That wasn't right. As a Kanas, As a rabbinic penalty, you sell your Eved Kanani to somebody living outside of Eretz Yisrael, he goes free. He goes free. Okay, period. Okay, now, so that's point number one. Point number two, we have this landmass called Syria. Okay, where is Syria? You know, it's Aram Sova. I hope that was helpful to some. Happens to be to me, it's not helpful because I don't know where Aram Sova is. I don't know where Syria is. I assume that whatever we call modern day Syria probably overlaps with the area that the Gemara is describing as Syria over here. But that's the most I can tell you. It don't matter for the purposes of our discussion. Syria was annexed by David HaMelech. David HaMelech, the Navi describes, Sefer Shmuel, you're gonna learn about David waging a war in order to do an annexation of the land of Syria and now to become part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. However, David did so without a mandate. In other words, that's what the Gemara describes as a kibush yachid. Kibush yachid. So in other words, David HaMelech did it by himself. Obviously not by himself. He had an army. But in other words, he didn't have a mandate to do so. So this in halacha is described as a kibush yachid. So kibush yachid. So what kind of annexation is that? So are we talking about, you've heard me say this before. Are we talking about like Hawaii, Alaska annexation? Where it's part and parcel, are we talking about Puerto Rico? Mm-hmm. Where it's, you know, kind of part of, but not really part of. Okay. So what kind of annexation is it? Everyone here knows the answer to that. It's machlokas. Whether or not kivush yachid shmei kivush or lav shmei kivush. Okay. So now, with that stated, so a good part of today's daf now, from this point going forward, we're going to be asking the question. And that is, what kind of annexation is Syria? So, that's a lot of setup, but we need it. In other words, you're not going to understand the Gemara without the setup. So let me start again. So you sell your Eved Kanani, and it happens to be that the buyer lives in Syria. So it's quasi Eretz Yisrael. So are you okay or you're not okay? Did you just sell your Eved Kanani to outside of Eretz Yisrael, yes or no? Does your Eved Kanani get to go free? Yes or no? Right? Obviously connected, interconnected. So Amaluhu Tenitzur Rabbi Meiram Akak Eretz Yisrael Gittin. He says, well, let's take a look at our first Mishnah here in Gittin. I think that will enlighten us. Why? Because it says Akko. Now Akko is like Eretz Yisrael, but only vis-a-vis the halachas of Get. Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechta. Now the Gittin in Lavadim Lo. V'kol Shekein Suri Demechar Ketuva. So that means to say that Akko is only bound to Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis the laws of Get. Any other arena of halacha, Akko is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now Akko is really close. And yet, it's outside. If that's true regarding Akko, it's for sure true regarding Surya. Surya is even further away. Now again, I know the Gemara would be so much easier over here if we had pinpoint precision of what Akko we're describing over here. I assume the modern Akko is the same as what the Gemara is describing, but I don't know. I'm not sure. And Surya, again, where exactly is it? Another wonderful question. But the Gemara is assuming, the assumptions of the Gemara is that Akko is closer than Surya. If Akko is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael, and only regarding Get is it considered interior, for all other halachas it's considered exterior, then for sure Surya is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, good. And the Gemara now says, Tana Rabbanan v'shosha drachim, shavsa sur l'Eretz Yisrael v'shosha l'chot saritz. Now, Surya, is that considered like Eretz Yisrael or is it not considered like Eretz Yisrael? So we're going to split the difference over here. Yes or no? Three ways it's like Eretz Yisrael, three ways it's not like Eretz Yisrael. So, and Simon, and the Gemara gives us a nice Simon in terms of helping us remember how to remember them. Ayin, Beis, Beis, Reish, Reish, Kuf. And let's go. Alfra, Tamik, Chutz Aretz, the land of Surya is going to be like Chutz Aretz, which means to Eretz, Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. Explain that better in just a moment. And number two, Mocher, Avdol, Surya, Kamocher, B'Chutz Aretz. You sell your Evi Kanani to Surya. It's like selling your Avikanani to Chutz Aretz, meaning he goes free. Number three, Hamevi get Misuria, okay, maybe Mechutz Aretz, the get being delivered. Get was written in Surya, being delivered to the wife who lives in Israel. The shlich must say, b'fanin echtam, b'fanin echtam. So those are three ways in which Surya is considered like Chutz Aretz. Now, next three. Uvishloshal Eretz Yisrael, chayefes b'maisa v'shviyaz k'Eretz Yisrael. You grow any produce in Surya, chayef v'shumas ha'maisos. That's the one. Two. You want to go into Surya in a state of Tahara, you can do so. Now, I know that's confounding because just moments earlier in the daf, we said that when you go into Surya, the land is subject to Tumas Eretz Amin. And now, on the back three, in other words, the front three, back three, I know I think a little bit about golf a little too much lately, but on the back three now, it seems to be confounding. And on the first side, we said that the land is subject to Tumas Amin. Now we're saying that if you can go, there is a way for you to go to Surya and to remain Tahor. Okay, that's going to be explained. And finally, Akona Sadeh B'Surya, when you buy land in Surya, it's Kekona B'Parvare Yushalayim. It's like buying property in Jerusalem proper. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we have to explain that also, and we will in just a moment. Okay. All right, so Surya. So once again, what do we now know? We know that David conquered it. We know it's annexed. We know its annexation now is not done so via mandate, but rather was done by David himself. We now know that Surya is kind of like Israel, kind of not like Israel. Okay, so and what we did is that we separated. In some regards, it's like Israel. In some regards, it's not like Israel. And the Brisa gave us a list of three and three. Three where it's not like Israel, three where it is like Israel, and we need more clarification on all these points.
And every option that you go with them was Chumrah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Right. So, number one, Chayevus b'maiser v'shviyaz k'Eretz Yisrael k'safer kibush achish mekibush. So, number one, and that is that the fact that when you grow produce in Surya, it's subject to Trumas HaMaisos. So we're going to say that kibush achish mekibush, that even though when David conquered Surya, he did so without a mandate, nevertheless, its annexation is part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. Look at Rashi over here. Kibush Yachid to David. Shalom, you call Yisrael b'yachid k'derach shayu b'kibush Yehoshua. Shayu kulam. So v'kibushu al tzorech call Yisrael kodem chaluka. Avadav lo kavish elo l'tzorcho. Okay, so Rashi over here, in the few words that Rashi wrote, Rashi over here is saying a lot. In terms of trying to help us understand, when is it considered kibush rabim versus when is it considered kibush yachid? And what you can do, I'm not going to do it right now, but what you can do and what you need to do is really sit on every word of Rashi and try to figure out what exactly is the delineation between when is it considered a mandate and kibush rabim and a full annexation versus what we're describing over here. When David conquered it, Rashi writes, he only did it for his own personal need and not for the needs of the Jewish people. Okay, and that's just one comment of Rashi. Rashi also describes over here that the Jewish people weren't together like they were by Yoshua. Again, it's not perfectly clear what Rashi means by all this, but in other words, what you would do beyond the daf is that you would sit and you would analyze what exactly does Rashi mean in terms of giving these kinds of markers of what's kibush rabim versus what's kibush yachid. Anyway, going back to the Gemara. So you grow produce in Surya, subject to Trumas HaMaisos. Why? Because kibush yachish may kibush. That's number one. Va'arot zalekanis babetara nechnas va'amar dafratame. The Gemara over here asks the obvious question. We already set up this question. And that is, I don't understand. We said that the land of Syria is considered Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. And that means, by the way, that you step foot in Syria and you're going to be Tummy, right? We discussed Tumas Eretz Ha'amim a number of times throughout Shas, right? I think back in Sota we discussed it. I hope I remember correctly. And the idea is that outside of Eretz Yisrael, they are not careful about where they bury. They don't mark off their graves. And as Gzeira D'Rabbanan, the Chachamim said that any time you take your foot and you put it outside of Eretz Yisrael and you step on land outside of Eretz Yisrael, Midrabbanan your tame. Okay. That's Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. Syria is subject to Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. Good. Now, the Gemara is asking, I don't understand. You also just got done telling me that you can go into Syria and remain Tahor. How does that work? So Varotz Likanus Labitara Nichnas Vahamar Dafratame. So the Gemara says Vishita Tevo Migdal. Yeah, so what you could do is that you can go in a box. In other words, what you're gonna do is that basically you're gonna go in a box suspended in air. So how is the box gonna be suspended in air? So to be cute, I would tell you magic, but that's silly. In other words, I could tell you we're flying in a plane, but that's anachronistic. So the way that you're floating is that people are holding you up. In other words, you're being carted in a box, and so therefore you're only in the airspace in Syria, and you're not on the actual physical land itself.
So based on this concept, the food that you're considering as truma is not tame.
Yeah. So okay. So Ben already right. I wasn't going to say it, but Ben said it. In other words, and I'm also trying to figure out, meaning that subject to truma samaisus, meaning that anything that you grow there is going to be subject to Trumas HaMaisis. It's growing from ground that's subject to Trumas HaAmim. And now, right, so that produce now, when you cut it, didn't it touch the ground, and isn't the produce now going to be Tame? And now you're going to, now the Truma that you're taking off is going to be Truma Tamea? Okay. The Gemara didn't ask the question. I didn't want to raise it because I just didn't want to make things more complicated. Okay. But as long as you said it, I'm telling you, I had the same thought. Okay. So, Ditanya, we learned in the Brice, Anichnas Eretz Amin, Vishita Teva Amigdal, Rabbi Mitamir, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Mitayr. Okay, Viafila Rabbi Loka Mitame, Elaberetz Amin, De Gazra Al Gusha, Al Avira, Valsuria Al Gusha, Gazra Al Avira Lo Gazra. I think Gemara brings in a Brice in terms of being shipped in Shita Teva Amigdal, being shipped in a box. You're being shipped in a box. Okay, you're not being shipped in a box. You're sitting in the box. This is not human remains. You're alive and well. But in other words, but the point is that you're in the airspace and you're not on the ground. And so if you're over Eretz Amin proper, so you're going to be Tame. Well, it's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and I'm sorry. It's a machlokus between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And the issue is whether or not it's an OL or it's not considered an OL.
Is that because
it's human remains? No, it's because... No, in other words, the Gzeira D'Rabbanan started with the land. A secondary Gzeira include the airspace as well. Your question is, why did they include the airspace?
Can a coin ever fly in a plane?
Well, that's a good question, separate issue. I'm not prepared to discuss it. Sorry. But the point is over here is that in Syria, let's just say it simply, in Syria, in other words, because of its quasi-annexation status, therefore, the Tumah D'Rabbanan is only limited to the earth itself. It does not include the airspace. Let's just say it. What I said is correct, and that's the easiest way to look at it. And finally, V'akona Sada B'Syria K'kona B'Parvarya Yerushalayim L'may Hilchasa. Now, let's say you want to buy real estate in Syria. So are you buying land in Israel? And the answer is yes. It's like buying a suburb in Yerushalayim. L'may Hilchasa. Now the Gemara says, okay. Now we're learning Gemara right now. In other words, this is not a real estate marketing campaign, right? In other words, we're not giving a flyer right now. Hey, you buy in Syria, it's like buying in Jerusalem. In other words, this is a halacha that we're going over. What halacha are we looking at over here? So L'may Hilchasa. So I'm Rav Sheshes. So Shekosun Lavono Ve'afilu B'Shabbos, that you can write the contract. and you could write up the contract even on Shabbos. Meaning when you're buying land in Israel, so because you're doing a mitzvah, so you could write up the contract on Shabbos. Now, hopefully what I just said should be a little bit shocking. Okay, because the Gemara is going to be shocked by it. So hold that thought for just a moment. So that's true regarding Eretz Yisrael. It's also true regarding Syria. It's a mitzvah to buy property for a Jew to buying property of Syria. So if that property were owned by a non-Jew and now you want to buy that property in Syria, God bless you, and more than God bless you, you can write the contract on Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, B'Shabbos al-Kadatz, and now the Gemara says, what? You can write the contract on Shabbos? Writing on Shabbos is an Isser D'Oraisa. So I understand you're doing a mitzvah by buying land, but it's not enough of a mitzvah to override Chilul Shabbos. So Kedam Rav Omer Lo V'Kochavim V'Oseh HaChinami Omer Lo V'Kochavim V'Oseh. So what you can do is you can instruct the non-Jew to go ahead and write the contract. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Now, normally asking a guy to do a malacha for you is an Isser D'Rabbanan. You can't do that. And I understand, by the way, that there are carve-outs within this rule of Amir La'akum, right? And when I say they're carve-outs, by the way, people generally help themselves to go beyond the carve-outs, but now's not the time for that. Anyway, I know they're carve-outs, but the rule is you can't ask a guy to do something for you on Shabbos that you yourself cannot do. So that's called Amir La'akum. But this is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to settle Eretz Yisrael. And so for over here, so we're going to relax the rules of Amir La'akum. So, and therefore you can instruct the guy to go ahead and write up the contract. If somebody's proposing to sell you a land in Syria, so just like if that proposal were made for you in Eretz Yisrael proper, you can ask the guy to write for you the contract on Shabbos. You can do the same thing regarding Syria as well. Okay. There is much discussion. Tosos over here, long Tosos. There's much discussion in terms of how far are we ready to go in terms of I can ask a guy to do something for me, which is a mitzvah, even though that which I'm asking to do is an Isser D'Oraisa, writing. Writing is an Isser D'Oraisa. So to what degree can I do that? A Amir La'akum in a situation of a mitzvah. What are the limits of that? So Tosos over here discusses, and that discussion goes well beyond the scope of our Gemara, but I raise it because you should know that that's a major discussion. Okay. I'm going to pause over here. Okay. And tomorrow we'll talk about an Avakanani delivering his own get. But it's a totally new topic, and we'll start with it tomorrow nice and fresh. Okay. Let's review. We covered a lot of topics today, and today was a loaded Gemara. Loaded. In terms of big topics. Number one. We started off this morning with a steer between two brises of delivery of a get from a boat, and that boat was sitting in a body of water in Israel. So on that boat, are you like an Israel proper? You're not like an Israel proper. The brises give us two different approaches and how to approach those two brises. So we had two basic mahakim in today's daf. Number one was the approach of Rav Yirmiya, who effectively says is that it's a machlokus between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. In the Mishnah and Chala, take that machlokus, plug it in over here. That is approach number one. And approach number two, Rav Nachman Yitzchak. And approach number two is that, look, if we're talking about a body of water in Israel, and the boats on that body of water, vis-a-vis Gittin and Befan and Echtav, that is considered like you're in Israel. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to talk about. Alright, so what about the two brises? That's talking about being in a boat in the Mediterranean Ocean. Alternatively, being on an island in the Mediterranean Ocean, and you are well west of Eretz Yisrael. Are you considered like, but you're within the band of the latitudes, the northern and southern latitudes of Eretz Yisrael. Are you considered like you're in Israel? So that's another machlokus between, happens to be the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda of another Braisa. And according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, you're going to take that machlokus and you're going to plug it in over here. Okay. That is number one. Our second topic of discussion. Okay, good. That was number one. Our second topic of discussion, and that is Syria. Syria is an annexed part of Eretz Yisrael, but done by David HaMelech, and not with a mandate. And therefore, it's Kibush Yachid. So, is Syria considered like Eretz Yisrael? The answer is yes and no. Okay? And what we did today is we went through a Braisa. Three ways in which it's like Eretz Yisrael, three ways in which it's not like Eretz Yisrael. And for the remainder of today's daf, We analyzed in which ways it is, in which ways it's not. We talked about buying property in Syria. It's like buying the Eretz Yisrael, meaning I can even ask a guy to go ahead and write up the contract on Shabbos. Okay, and an assortment of other halachas that we touched on regarding Syria.